Hello.
This
Hello.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Big Kirko wakes up dripping like this.
I like it, Kirko. You like that?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
After review, the fumble went over the pylon, which by
stupid ass rule.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, legendary broadcaster Bob Costas. Coming up, Colorado head coach Deion Sanders, author and comedian Cedric the Entertainer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is live on the air. We say hello to our Roku channel audience every day, 12 to 3 Eastern. We celebrated just Tuesday our second anniversary on this program, or our first anniversary, right? 1 year in, and this is our year two. Look, the years are flying by. The show is flying by. Tom Pelissero, hour one. Deion Sanders, hour two. And my gosh, that was as great as I was expecting that conversation to be. And go Bob Costas calling in to correct an error from yesterday's program. The error being, I should never have called him to help with my power rankings. But as I said to you, who better to give me the go-ahead to replace the Jets with the Lions in my power rankings than a guy who could care less about it?
Totally agree.
But with 28 Emmys, it is still, it's a TV question. It's a broadcast
Absolutely.
Question. You know what it is? It's an integrity question. So that's why we had Bob call in.
And you made the change, that showing your
and
integrity.
I did.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's integrity all around.
Absolutely.
I'm integrity adjacent to Bob Costas, is basically what I'm saying. Cedric the Entertainer is in our green room, which delights. Mm-hmm. He's got a new novel out called Flipping Boxcars.
Let's go.
And I'm holding the book up for our radio audience, Terrestrial, Sirius XM, and Odyssey, and our podcast as well. Once you're done with this, get ready for the weekend. Once the weekend's over, Overreaction Monday, a podcast Chris and I do every Monday on the Cumulus Podcast Network. Then on Tuesday, Susie Schuster, Amy Trask with What the Football. So, you know, we're just churning out the content, basically. Also in this hour, we're going to play What's More Likely. That's coming up in just a few minutes' time. But let's take some phone calls here because all the phone lines are lit. Let us go to Terzo in Iowa. All rise. What's up, Terzo?
What's up, guys? Just walked into Carl's after a good round of golf.
Attaboy.
Wow. Do you ever work, Terzo?
Hey, man, come on. Brockman, I work every day. I already dealt with three different cases while I was on the golf course.
Look at
you. Six different phone calls. And was still just on hold with you guys. I'm multitasking.
This is impressive.
Wow, amazing.
He's solving crime.
You're hired.
Even though that's not what you do. You're holding on. You're opining. And now you went to your local establishment there in the great state of Iowa to call us. This is wonderful. What's on your mind, sir? What's on your mind?
Well, so, Rich, I went to CSU. So I am a proud Ram.
Okay.
But I'm also a huge Deion fan.
Okay.
Actually, the first jersey I ever had was Deion with the Falcons.
Okay.
And I'm a huge Niner fan. You know that, right? So all I've ever done is I love Prime. Anything that Prime touches, I think it turns to gold. And for my coach at CSU, who has nothing to stand on, to go and say that, and I'm going to be quite frank, to disrespect the man that way was unnecessary. And you don't need to do it. Like, there's no reason for it. And I know Deion's going to be a bigger and better man because he is. But the only time, you know, I take my hat off is when I go into court, when I go into church, or if I'm having a beautiful dinner with my girlfriend.
And that's why you are who you are, Terzo. Thanks for calling in, brother. Enjoy your weekend. That's Terzo went out. You got it.
Same.
Go back to work now.
See you, brother.
Back to work.
Have one on us. Or for us.
Both.
Look, I guess what Jay Norvell is trying to illustrate to his kids, we're not afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid to poke the bear. We're going to go in. We do it differently here. I don't know.
They didn't see that movie about the bear this summer, did they?
No.
You don't want to go poking those bears.
Stay away from that bear.
You know what I mean? You don't want to go poking the bear.
hold on for 2+ hours. Shravon in Washington, D.C. I said the name right. Right, sir? Right, brother?
Yes, you did, Rich. How are you doing?
Good to have you back on the program. What's on your mind?
Doing good. Christopher Brockman, 6-time champion. TJ Jefferson, 5-time champion. How are we doing, guys?
My man.
I'm ready for my sixth.
Let's go.
What does he mean by that?
Oh, Super Bowls. You wouldn't know
Super Bowls, Rich.
Oh.
Yeah, you got Rich Eisen one time.
Rich, first things first, I'm very, very disappointed over what happened with Aaron Rodgers at MetLife. That is just, it's just devastating.
Appreciate your support.
But unfortunately, I hate to say this to you, there was one silver lining to it. It brought forth another classic Rich Eisen rant, and I've been keeping a journal of Rich Eisen show rants ever since it first came on.
Wow.
And I've come up with a top five list of Rich Eisen show rants.
Are you the one who tweeted us a few weeks ago?
Yeah. I've got the list right in front of me if you want me to play it.
Hold on a second.
Do we give animation?
Do we give the whole thing, the whole business?
No. You don't need music.
Hold on a second. Hold on a minute. We don't need the music. Hold on a minute. We don't need the music, but
let's get Rich.
The new animation's great. We've got sound. We've got video.
Let's go.
I mean, here we go. Hit it. Go for it.
Okay, so number five on the list.
Hold on a minute. We got to get you. Hold on. We need to give you your.
We're playing the animation.
Your drop.
Not theme music.
Okay.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
Okay, very good. You have the floor, Sravan. You have the floor.
Number five on the list.
Yes.
February 9th, 2015. Mr. Irving Bierman's letter to James Dolan sets off Rich to the point where the schmecky owner with his fedora continues the bad luck blues of Madison Square Garden.
Okay, that's number five. Number four?
Number four.
Yes?
Number four on the number four item up for bids. The great T.J. Jefferson casually mentions Luis Gonzalez on April 20th, 2021, leading to Rich ranting about Susie, i.e. my wife, getting a baseball signed by an unnamed Yankee. Then the picture of blowing the lead from Mariano Rivera leads Rich to say, on a day when I'm nominated for an Emmy, what's the matter with you people?
Okay, that's very good. Wow, very detailed.
Very detailed.
All right. Sounds like me. All right.
I remember that happening.
Number three
on the list. September 2nd, 2019, Sam Darnold comes down with mono and the late, great Demaryius Thomas, God bless his humble soul. Rich is angry to the point where he puts up a conspiracy theory of the, quote, Manchurian mono wide receiver coming from New England to New York and causing Sam to get mono.
That is definitely.
That's the ESPN graphic tour. He's point, like pointing.
But
out with mononucleosis.
Hey, I have mono. All right, I'm scared to hear the number two and one. If that was three, what else you got? Number two. Yeah.
It was just recently the football gods kicking Rich in the keister.
Mm-hmm.
September 12th, 2023, Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles because it's four snaps, similar to the number of fingers the Michigan Wolverines put up in honor of the great Jim Harbaugh,
who
coincidentally wore number four at the University of Michigan.
All right, number one. What's the number one rant of all time that you've heard, I guess, from us? What do you got?
Before I get to that one, I got to do an honorable mention. The 16 one-star Uber ratings and blame Susie for that.
It's right. Very harsh use of the word blame, but don't get involved. Right. Don't get involved, right. Sravan.
Amazing.
What's number one?
Sorry.
What do you got?
All right, number one.
Yeah.
The five words that are forever trademarked with Rich. December 21st, 2020. Do not get me started because the Jets beat the Rams to lose out on Trevor Lawrence and end up with Zach Wilson, who is known for being a cougar hunter, and Trevor Lawrence has taken the Jaguars to the playoffs, but also signified that the Jets are just never allowed to have nice things.
Unbelievable.
That's not a bad list. That's a really good list. And thank you, Sravan, for reminding me just how unhinged I can possibly be on this program. Thank you very much. That was well done.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
that was very well done. I do remember that.
I remember all of those.
When they beat the Rams here, the Jets are still feeling the effect of it.
Yeah.
The ripple, right? Unless we would have gotten four snaps in 75 seconds out of Trevor Lawrence in game one.
His career
even
probably
that,
would have been ruined.
Even that, he probably would prefer that over Urban Meyer in his first year. What would you say? What would you rather have? A snapped Achilles or a year with Urban? Which is more growth stunting?
Was it 6-7 weeks?
Which is more growth stunting?
Wasn't that long with Urban?
No, it was about 10 or 12. You had a whole offseason. Hearing about him, asking his coaching staff for their resumes after hiring them? Okay.
Which made me give you my resume.
All right. Before Cedric the Entertainer hits, here we go. Here we go, everybody. Wow. It is now time for our Friday staple. What's more likely? Hit it, please.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody good? Friday?
We're good. Yes, sir. Let's go.
Hey, we just talked to the great Deion Sanders. He's the head coach of Colorado. What's more likely to be the bigger total this weekend? Colorado's winning margin or the Broncos' points scored?
Broncos are...
home for Washington.
Home for Washington. Oh, I'll go winning margin for Colorado. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So let's say Colorado wins by 31. I don't think the Broncos are putting up 31 on. I think their offense is still formulating. And that's part of the reason why I think they went onside to start the game against the Raiders.
You don't think that was just Sean Payton being like, I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah. I don't think it's for ego. I think it's for let's surprise him and let's get a short field for Russ to start the season. With Judy out. So, I'll go Colorado winning margin. That is what's more likely there.
All right,
I like
go.
That. Good start. What
Load
else you
up
got?
On the Buffaloes. All right, who's the more likely AFC Super Bowl contender to start the season 0-2? Chiefs or Bengals?
Oh, I'll go Bengals on that one.
Really?
More likely. You know, Ravens coming into the Bengals' house or the Chiefs going into Jacksonville and wanting to set things straight with Kelce back and Chris Jones back.
Back in quotes.
I think they're there. We're assuming in quotes because Chris Jones hasn't played football since the Super Bowl and Travis Kelce, you know, might be nursing something. I don't know. Bengals started 0-2 last year and still made it. I can't imagine the Chiefs starting 0-2 at this point if Kelce and Jones are back. So I'll go Bengals.
Mm. Bengals even though what do you got? Bengals are 4-1 against the Ravens in the last five too. So
I know, but Ravens had them last year in the playoffs, and if Lamar was, Lamar's there. I'll just go there. I'll go there right now. I'll go there. What else you got, Chris?
More likely to have more total yards up the road in SoFi this weekend. Christian McCaffrey or Puka Doncic and Tutu Atwell combined?
Well, Puka Nakua Matata might not be playing, right?
As of writing this, he is. But
so I'll go McCaffrey. I'll go McCaffrey. I have a feeling that the Rams might have their hands a bit more full. And I know that means home against the Niners as opposed to road against Seattle, but
what if the Rams?
You're not going, right? You're not going. You sold your tickets. Have they been sold yet? Just come out and say it.
I don't like the accusations. I don't like your tone.
You're not going.
You resemble those remarks.
Have you sold your tickets yet? Yes or no?
Yet being the key.
Negative on both. I have not sold, and I haven't decided if I'm going. Thank you very much.
Okay.
He ain't going, Rich.
No way he's
There's
going.
There's no way he's going.
Because Niner fans are probably knocking on that secondary ticket door. That's the knock you hear of opportunity.
Just saying, my DMs are open. Moving on. More likely to be the higher total. Higher total. I'm proud of this one. Sacks in the Jets-Cowboys game or touchdowns in the Dolphins-Patriots game?
Oh, sacks. Sacks and Jets-Dolphins. Jets-Cowboys. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. How many touchdowns in Miami, New England? What would you think? 3-4 in that game?
3-4?
Yeah, Patriots.
Six?
Look at their history in New England, right? Right?
I just saw. 6 or 7 in this game, at least. The Dolphins scored 5.
How about this one? What's more likely, touchdowns scored in New England, Miami, or field goals in Miami, New England? You'd go touchdowns, wouldn't you? I'm just saying, pal.
What are you changing the game for?
I'm just changing.
The Patriots have a better offense than the Jets.
I'm not changing any game.
What are you talking about?
I'm not changing a game.
You're changing the game.
Excuse me. I gave you the answer to your question.
Wrong
and
answer.
Then it said, okay. What else, Chris?
What's more likely, that there's more 2-0 teams or more 0-2 teams on Tuesday?
Ooh.
Well, we know right now, half the league, 1-0. The other half, 0-1 coming into this week. We already have.
So there's a possibility.
We already have a 2-0 and an 0-2 instead of 2 1-1s. So More 2-0 teams or more 0-2 teams? I will say more 0-2 teams come Tuesday.
More 0-2.
I like it, Chris.
Ooh,
it's a good one.
Glasses
more
half
likely,
empty,
yeah, because I think that this is a league that where 1 week you win, 1 week you're not. So I think there'll be a lot more 1-1s and then some more 0-2s than 2-0s. I assume that that's going to be the case. I haven't looked yet to see how many 1-1s
there's
are
possible,
1-0s are playing each other. You got 1-0 Rams, 1-0
There's a max possibility of 12 2-0 teams.
Okay. And what's the max possibility of 0-1 teams?
I didn't get that far.
All right.
You know, we're not good at math.
This is me playing poker too. I don't do the odds. I'm not an odds guy because I'm not allowed to gamble.
Rich,
so what do I know about odds?
Not playing GTO, are you? All right. More likely NFC North quarterback to throw for more yards in a win. Jordan Love or Jared Goff?
I'm going with Jared Goff, baby. Oh yeah. You saw what Matthew Stafford just did to Seattle on the road. Goff's at home, pal. They're restoring the roar. Here we go.
Restoring the roar.
Yeah, man. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Line's big. Huh?
Jared Goff.
Line's big.
What else you got?
That line's been moving.
I'm moving on.
Quarterback to have more rushing yards in a win. Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields?
Richardson against Houston. Justin Fields against Tampa. I'll go Justin Fields.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I'll go Justin Fields. I think Richardson.
You think they're going to beat the Bucs?
Pal, no. I think he'll be running for his life. That's what I think. And some of these guys will be covered, and he's just going to say, screw it. I'm out the gate. And Anthony. And I think Anthony Richardson might have a long day. I think Houston's going to show that they have some defensive gumption, and they're going to be home, and they're going to run Damian Pierce a heck of a lot more than they did in Baltimore. And they're going to be a little bit more. I kind of like Houston to win this game.
Ooh.
Be honest with you.
Wow, hot take.
Okay, how's that hot? Okay. They're home. So, what's up?
All right, last one. Playoff team from a year ago, more likely to fumble the bag and start 0-2. Chargers or Giants?
I mean.
I think the Giants. What's more fumbling of the bag than going to Arizona and following up your 40-0 home opening loss with a win, a loss out there against the bus takers or the self-drivers, Josh Dobbs. I think the Chargers go to Tennessee and win that game. I'm going to take them on game day morning, that's for sure. And then halfway through say, why the hell did I do that? And say what I said on Friday's show. But I'll go Giants.
Giants go 0-2. Are you getting the heat turned up a little bit?
On who?
Everybody. Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, Darren Waller.
You just said everyone who's not going anywhere. Keep naming names. They're not going anywhere.
Really?
Not going anywhere.
Cut them?
No, you don't cut anybody. You just, go back to the drawing board. So
0-2, yikes.
That's
There's
it.
No shame in losing 40-0 to the Dallas Cowboys.
Very good.
Be honest.
Well, that's what's more likely here on a Friday. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, the great Cedric the Entertainer is in studio. He is now a novelist as well as one of the funniest guys on planet Earth. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
What's great, man, are these, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for Celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, yeah, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spell, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker.
Strip sack.
Could be strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And then, again, you just walk away, and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we can edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Steve Harvey at the Super Bowl a few years ago in Miami. Our whole archive available at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel. Now back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And for our radio audience, we just showed a clip on our Roku channel of Steve Harvey, and let's continue the original King of Comedy theme. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show is a novelist. I'm holding up his new novel, Flipping Boxcars, the brilliant Cedric the Entertainer. How
What's
are you, Cedric?
What's up, brother? What's How are going? You, man?
How are you?
This is nice, man. That was funny. I've been on a Celebrity Family Feud. It's daunting, man. Like, you know, you do think that it's easy when you're watching it at home. I won, so I don't know if Steve didn't bring me up. I walked out of there with a bag, baby.
So let me just jump right into it. How did you guys form the Kings of Comedy? How did that happen? How did that come about?
We were actually all like touring individually, and the promoter that would take us out, he had this idea to mainly put us all together. So it was a unique time where, you know, comedians, we were all kind of go do theaters on our own individually.
Yes.
And then the guy Walter Latham, he was the one who thought of this idea of putting us all in one night, you know, kind of the stars of comedy, Carnal K. And we came out and did arenas, and it was amazing, man. We had a great time. We ran that tour for like 3 years, and then we shot the movie. So we were out on the road before people even knew about it.
So 3 years you were touring together.
Yeah.
And did you meet anybody for the first time due to this tour?
No. I knew all those guys individually, you know, because it's a small community. So DL and I, we had been on a tour before. Uh-huh. Steve and I had been friends for many, many years. Plus, we were doing the Steve Harvey Show at that time. And then Bernie Mac was, you know, he was everybody's favorite comedian, even, you know, all the comics' favorite comedian at that time anyway. So it just worked out that, you know, we all were able to lock in and go together. So
how did Spike get involved?
You know, he just showed up as Morris Blackman. He just kind of just slid in on one of those Spike Lee shots. Nobody saw him coming. No, man. When we were doing the movie, we wanted somebody to bring it, you know, the right awareness to it. And then Spike, of course, came to see it a few times. I think we did Radio City Music Hall in New York, and then he came to that. And then, you know, he was just of the culture. He was the right person to blow up this movie because it was such a great kind of cultural experience, but we needed somebody to give it that other, you know, that other shine. So, he came in and Spike Lee'd it. He killed it.
Is there a favorite Bernie Mac story you have that you're willing to share that's clean enough for our...
Probably the cleanest one. No, I love... B-Mac is always great, man, but... You know, the thing about him, he loved comedy. And so on the first round of the tour, I used to go first. Uh-huh. And then there was an intermission. And so I would have all the celebrities and everybody back in my room, and like we're partying and stuff. And so Bernie came in one time and just did a whole set for the people. He did like a 8 minute, 10 minute set
in my room,
like just like killed it, and just turned around and was like, "I'm Bernie Mac. How about this one?" You know. And everybody was like, "Ah!" And he was like, "Yo, that's my room, y'all."
And then he went on stage.
Yeah, and then went on stage and did a whole nother joke set and killed it. But you know, I took all the credit for being able to book him for nothing.
In your room,
yeah, in my room, guys.
For your celebrity friends,
guys. That's what happens in my room every night. Sorry.
But it's just so cool. I just remember when this was happening and how. You know, obviously, you know, Eddie Murphy's movies and his stand-up and everything, and Robert Townsend being the director of it. And then it kind of set the stage in a way, would you say, for the original Kings of Comedy?
Yeah, sure. No? I mean, those Robert Townsend specials, those HBO specials he did, set their world. Of course, Eddie Murphy, Raw.
Right.
Martin did a big, you know, I think Run and Tell That, big arena tour.
Yes.
So that was that world. It had started to go. Dice Clay had did a big arena tour.
Yes.
So these were people knew that world existed, but nobody had actually kind of came out and give you the Superfest version, right, where all of your favorite artists are there at one night. So that's what Kings of Comedy kind of became.
That's
so
awesome. Cedric the Entertainer, man. Here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we get to your novel, so you're from St. Louis, right?
Yeah, STL, let's go.
Okay, and so is that where you first... the Rams weren't there, obviously, when you were growing up.
No, when I was growing up, there was the Cardinals, right? Uh-huh. And, but nobody, you know, they were owned by the Bidwills, and everybody hated him. And so, and then when they moved, it was like, all right, good riddance. So, but then the Rams came, and they came basically in the heyday of my rise as a comedian. So the greatest show on turf and all that stuff, I was extremely popular, and so were the Rams. And so... You know, I was living out here more, but you know, of course, I'm from St. Louis, so I had to rep them. You know, that was the team, but they were fun to watch, and the city was bubbling, and it was a St. Louis thing at the time. Nelly, you know, Nelly, the Rams, all of it's going down. St. Louis was getting to shine, so you know, that was one of those ones where you had to like kind of like love what was happening for your city.
One of my favorite people on the planet is Marshall Faulk. I'm sure you've met him multiple times, and I'm sure he loves you too.
Yeah, Faulk is my man, you know, and all those guys, Torrey Holt, they were great. Isaac Bruce, that was just a fun time. You know who I don't think I've ever met was Kurt Warner.
Is that right?
I could fix that. Yeah, man.
I'm seeing him tomorrow.
I kept going to the grocery store he used to work at. You know what I mean?
So shopping for cereal, looking for the quarterback.
Is Kurt here? No, yeah. Oh no, he's moved on, Cedric.
He's
a big star now. Yeah, he's no longer stuffing the canned soup.
Yeah, it's right. He's not boxing produce anymore. Yeah, he's been away a long time, right? He does not box
a little stack of kale costs.
So isn't it funny now the Rams are here, right?
Yeah. So that was actually great too, because you know it was, you know, my friend Otto Malley is, you know, connected to the team, and I've been knowing him from the Missouri days, and so you know when they came, it just was like really kind of, you know, cool. I felt like St. Louis was upset that the Rams were leaving, and I kind of felt like my team was coming to me. So I keep winning. It's like my dressing room all over again.
Nice, right?
Yes.
even if you lose a team,
even
you
know, I lose. Yeah. I'm like, guys, look what I did. I brought the team here.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know you go to games. I've seen you. I've seen you there. You know.
And it was. I mean, the stadium is a really beautiful place. Unique stadium, fun to go to. And then they went to the Super Bowl the first year. And then won the second year, so
yeah, they came here and Sean McVay took them, and they lost to New England, and then you know, and then winning in SoFi Stadium.
The first time the stadium was open that season, that's amazing. So I mean, it was all electric. I was all on the field. You thought I'd been in practices? Oh man,
is that right?
I got pictures of me. I'm out there with Aaron Donald. Like, yes, look at us. You know, I'm like, bro, I didn't come to one practice.
He's a human muscle. That
man. Oh my God, he's such a huge dude, but a nice guy, but so solid. Just rock solid human being.
Okay, so which is your basketball team out here?
Yeah, my team. I'm Lakers out here.
Okay,
but I grew up in St. Louis. We didn't really have a basketball team ever. So of course the Bulls, and especially the Jordan's Bulls, they were the team that we could hop on a Southwest flight and go to and go hang out in Chicago.
Yeah.
So that was my team too, and I still love the Bulls for that reason.
You ever meet Jordan?
Yeah, man. I met MJ many times. You know. His golf tournaments, performed for his birthday. You know, it's always around Super Bowl time.
So. What do you mean you performed for his birthday?
So he would have these birthday parties where, you know, you go up and you have a good time. I remember it was a classic Jordan thing, man. I walked out with some Adidas shell toes on, man.
Uh-oh.
I mean, and he lit into me. I'm there to tell the jokes. And he like, what you doing, man? I said, huh? I didn't even know what was going on. I'm like,
you didn't think about it?
I didn't even realize it because, you know, I was wearing a suit and I was like, you got basketball shoes. They don't go well with suits, but the shell toes, they kill the suit, man. I'm more about style, bro.
So let me get this straight. So he hires you to perform for his birthday and make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
You come out in the wrong shoes and he starts heckling you.
Oh, man, killing me. I didn't even know why he was upset. It did not happen. I couldn't figure it out until he was like, "What's with them shoes?" And I was like, I was like, "Oh, well, I wear a size 13."
Nice.
You can fix that easily, guys. Just send a bunch of shoes. I'll figure it out.
That's right. Yeah. Then you won't have this problem again.
It's his issue. Won't be
it's his fault. It is his fault.
You need to be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cedric the Entertainer here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's talk about this book. Where did you come up with the idea of just saying, you know what, I want to write a novel? Where did this come from?
You know what? I used to have all these like ideas about my grandfather. I never met him.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's father was somebody that when she described him, I felt like I had a lot of his characteristics. So this was interesting. You know, in a family, you know, family lore, you kind of hear like he was a, you know, businessman. He was an entrepreneur. He was a bootlegger, gambler. And so I started to have all these machinations about who he was. And so it started out with me trying to write a series, like a Boardwalk Empire kind of thing.
Sure.
And then the opportunity to do the long form novel. The publishers at HarperCollins loved the idea. And so we got together and wrote this book, man. And so I love the fact that I'm able to kind of tell this story about a family member and at the same time, you know, put this fictional tale around it. And so it just gave me the creative license to kind of imagine what his life was like. And so very proud of it, a lot of fun, totally out of my wheelhouse. So it took a little bit, you know, to get it done, but I'm loving that book, man.
Nothing's better than just being able to put this on your shelf and it is done, and you know, and now, you know, whatever comes of it, you can do another one if you want. I mean, you could keep going, and no one can. That's like they always say in the NFL, no one can ever take this away from you, as if there is literally somebody out there trying to physically remove something from you. But this is the truth.
No, that's what's really special about it. And I wrote it, you know, with this idea that he is a living character in my mind. So millions of stories, a lot of ways to go with it. Even in this book, I ended it with like three cliffhangers. So it all makes you want to go like, what else happened there? Or what happened to this story?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I believe that that's, you know, how life is, you know, like everything is not buttoned up in a little button at the end of 30 minutes, you know, like on sitcoms or, you know.
So you did some research or just your own memories of your family for this?
We did a lot of research to kind of make sure that we were totally right, because it's based in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to have like the world right, what was going on at the time. You know, my uncle shared a lot of stories about his dad. My mother's, the stories that she would share with my sister and I, we would just recall those. And then we had to do some research of, I based it in Caruthersville, Missouri, where I grew up. It's even a smaller town, about 100, maybe 80 miles from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a small town in the Boot Hill of Missouri, riverboat city. And so, I, you know, we wanted to kind of get the whole you know, texture of what was right around then and what people had to deal with. So we did a lot of research in that area.
Cedric the Entertainer, a few more minutes left with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so we just had Dion on before.
Right.
And it was kind of funny. He was supposed to be on right before you, and we spent a few minutes before the show getting technically all set up so that we could connect the two of you. Because imagine you've met him and hung out with him.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Man, you know, of course, back in his prime days, he's a superstar. But I've been knowing him many years, man, and you know, just really so proud of just, you know, not even just the wins of what he's doing at Colorado, but really how he's leading the culture. From when he was, you know, at Jackson State, that kind of manhood, that leadership is something that we don't really see in our communities. This was, you know, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, he's not a civil rights leader, but you liken him to me at this day to the Martin Luther King, you know, like someone who's his voice, his intent and purpose, the way that he is, you know, like, you know, helping these young folks really identify not with, as winners of the people on the field, but winners as human beings in the life. And that just, it's just great to see somebody be so vocal and so assured of themselves and then dominant about it and then unapologetic. So, but not, he even said that today, which I love, you know, he was like, you know, people come for him, but he's like, I'm not coming for nobody.
Yes.
Like, so when people feel like his braggadocious or his gravitas is too much, then that's their opinion. That's not his opinion. I'm just me, right? So I love that. I love that people can misconstrue the fact that you're assured and you're positive and you stand on your strength. Somehow that's offensive to them. Well, deal with yourself. Now, don't deal with me. That's on you, buddy.
When he said that earlier, you know, about 40 minutes ago, said, I responded by saying, I'm like, when are people going to learn? Because it's not like he hasn't been on camera. And hasn't been on, like, he's been on the scene. He was even saying his first Sports Illustrated cover, he was wearing hat and glasses.
Yeah.
1989. I mean, this is 2023. So it's like, how many times is he going to be either underestimated or misconstrued? And obviously he's not perfect. I mean, none of us are in this world. But he also told me, in something that you just said earlier, that he told me many times when we worked together at NFL Network, we spent a ton of time together, is that when he went to Florida State, it was the first time he ever saw a grown man shave. He'd never grown up seeing another man shave. And so he has that. That's what he's bringing to the equation when he sees kids and he has kids in and he's coaching these kids up. It's truly his experience growing up in Fort Myers, now writ large as a coach of a program that's winning two games.
I had to teach one of my adult cousins how to fold his money. Like, it's little things that you realize people just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so that's really great, man. And then you don't want him to bring the curl back from the Must Be the Money video. That's when you're like, Ice Cube, I'm thinking about getting that curl back. That's a different Dion right there.
Now, that would
be
great. That's another thing, too, is that, you know, I mean, he hit 533 in a World Series. He sang Must Be the Money.
Yes.
He's an SNL host. I mean...
Oh, the helicopter ride from the baseball game. Come on, man, that's legendary stuff. But you got to give it up for that dude. Man.
I know, it's funny. Like, one year we went to the Pro Bowl when it was in Fort Lauderdale. Was it not in Hawaii? It was in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. And we're going to practice, and he goes, as we get to the stadium, he says, you know, I feel like I've been here before. And I'm like, yeah, Dion, we just passed the old Yankees facility where you did spring training.
Yeah,
you know, and he forgets sometimes. We forget sometimes. I mean, he's prime.
And you know, he's perfect for this show because you can't curse on this show, and I don't know what those curse words. Gosh darn, he said
bull junk.
Yeah, bull junk, they bull java. What are these curse words you're using, Dion? God bless you.
Yeah, gold darn. So, darn.
Darn. Darn. I was like, okay, he mean that. He was emphatic.
Fantastic. Now, TJ, man, you go back like a car seat would said too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just with Sed's career and everything he's done, I've been a big fan. And
what about Western PA?
Well, that was Sed, the one time I met Sed, he would never remember this. It was 1998. I was working in a Foot Locker in downtown Pittsburgh, and Sed came in, and we, you know, you're not expecting to see Cedric the Entertainer in the downtown Pittsburgh story.
Is that where you got your Adidas?
I was probably trying to look for some Jordans.
For the next kid?
Yeah, I probably just got a reprimand. branded by MJ. I gotta go to this Foot Locker. Yeah, hey, my brother, you got some J's in here, man. No.
We got
size 13. Size 13, my man. Thank you so much. It's an emergency.
Maybe that's it.
Put these in the box. I'm gonna wear them out.
It could be that. You know,
big up, bro.
Yeah, Rich, man. I want to ask you the same question we had Tracy Morgan on a few weeks ago. Yeah. You know, we're big on top five lists here, so I was just wondering, you being the comedic legend that you are, who would you place in your top five comic stand-up actors? Like five that you just really enjoyed, five that you feel were just
your top
some
five.
Of the best. Your top five.
Oh, the top five?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, that's kind of
It's all the kings of comedy. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's, you could do that. I mean, for most of us, we go Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, probably Robin Williams.
Oh, man.
For me, is the late Robin Harris. He was the guy that I kind of emulated my career after the most, the Robin Harris. And then, you know, someone that I enjoy, I probably would say Chappelle. I put Chappelle up there. And then myself, you know, if that's as the bonus.
You can. You're allowed.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
That's a good
I'm
one.
That guy.
You can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's an I in my first and last name, so I respect that.
Nice.
I respect that.
I like that. I didn't even know that.
You know what? It's because I make it about
it.
Myself.
Probably, yes.
You know, I put my name on everything.
An I in my.
Well, there is an I in Cedric and entertainer.
Yeah. There you go. There it is.
Well done.
Whoa, so good.
And there's two eyes in flipping.
Yeah.
There we go. Flipping boxcars. How about that, huh?
Not need to buy a vowel at all.
Where all books are sold right now. It was published this very week. Flipping boxcars.
Yeah.
Cedric the Entertainer. Great to see you. Please come back anytime.
Always, man. Thank you, brother.
This was a blast. Let's wrap up this show in a moment. Get you ready for a big football and sports weekend. Cedric the Entertainer right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, man.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. You met Prince, correct?
Yeah. I never forget. We were at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Security came to me to my seat at the end of the show or towards the end of the show and said, Prince wants you to come on stage. I was like, okay. He wants you to come on stage now. All right. So I'll go on stage. It's me, Whoopi Goldberg, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, a bunch of other people on stage. And we went to this after-hour spot after the concert, a place called Village Underground in the village.
Sure. Oh, it's famous.
Yeah. And so, you know, because Prince likes to jam afterwards. Well, Prince just went to go listen to the musicians. And so it's Prince, his assistant, myself. And I see Prince lean over to his assistant. And then all of a sudden, the assistant leans over to me and says, I don't know why I do this voice, but it's like, Prince wants you to come back and have pasta and pizza. I was like... Oh, okay. And then Prince got up and left, and she got up and left. I don't know why her voice is so deep, because it was a woman. And she left.
Because you were summoned.
Yes.
You were summoned by royalty.
And there was, you know, an array of people in the living room, and I went back to find Prince, and he was back there holding court with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, and he looked up and like smiled and gave me the peace sign, and I went back in, and we had pasta and pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. How did Prince like his pizza? This is very important.
First off, there was no meat on the pizza, and I didn't see Prince eat any pizza. We would go to his house, man, for the house parties, and it'd be Stevie Wonder playing the piano, Malcolm Jamal Warner on bass, Rochelle Farrell singing lead. It was just amazing, man. And then you would get into like 5 o'clock in the morning, his chef is serving you breakfast. You're like, why am I at Prince's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, man?
Fun times when Anthony Anderson stopped by as well. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full show archive, as always. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long for free. and get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Ooh, that was a good one.
All right, thank you. That was a good one.
Lay out.
I did full summer all. silently pronouncing the comma.
Yes.
All right, John in Utah, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John? You there, John? John in Utah.
Utah.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
John in Utah.
Yeah, give me two, John.
Hey, John in Utah.
What's up?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, you are on the air, okay, sir. What's
up? Sorry, thank you. Thank you, Rich. I was going to say with everything that happened with Rodgers and the Jets, I'm reminded of another prominent New Yorker that had hope of starting a season full of promise and hope, and that, you know, that season was going to go differently, only for it to end in despair. And that season, of course, was summer, and that New Yorker was George Costanza.
Ah, Summer of George. Okay.
Summer of George.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I was just wondering, if you're watching this weekend, Cowboys are roughing up the Jets. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're not. If they are, just stay calm and remember serenity now.
Thank you very much, and let's just hope the Jets' win total does not experience shrinkage. Is that the way to go?
I thought the first season was
that the way to handle that.
Mets.
I don't know how to.
I think that's good. Yeah.
I thought he was describing the Mets season at first.
Well done.
That just went.
All right. While we were, in fact, chatting with Cedric the Entertainer and having our fun, Pat McAfee did have his BFF Aaron Rodgers on his program, and Rodgers talked about the moment he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Monday was amazing day to start, amazing night running on the field with the flag, the electric, and then it turned into one of the toughest 24-hour stretches I've had in my life, for sure. A lot of sadness, a lot of tears, a lot of dark frustration and anger, all the gamut of emotions. But then the sun rose the next day, and I found myself in LA and had surgery on Wednesday, and since then I've been feeling better. Before even an MRI, I knew what happened. I knew I'd torn my Achilles, and I had popped my calf, you know, a few times, especially the soleus, and this was not that sensation. So I knew right away this was this was not a good situation.
Jeez,
man.
What a bummer.
Yeah,
honestly,
the only word for it, really. I mean, it's just a bummer.
Four snaps, 75 seconds. Get out of here. So, of course, you know, Rodgers' first comment on the story there, and then the what next, the whole idea of is this the way he's going to go out? I mean, he's 39. This is not one of those, you know, come back from ankle this or elbow that. I mean, this is...
it's going to be a hard road.
This is Achilles, man. He had this to say about potentially retiring off of this.
I think what I'd like to say is give me the doubts.
Yes.
Give me the doubts. Give me the timetables. Give me all the things that you think can, should, or will happen, because all I need is that one little extra percent of inspiration. That's all I need. Give me your doubts, give me your prognostications, and then watch what I do.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Okay.
That's got to get you charged up a little, right?
That's good attitude.
I mean, I hope I see it, man. I would love it. So the idea that he's just like, yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and do it, or it's too much. I love that attitude, obviously. Certainly, if it's possible, as he was asked, you want to beat the timetable by maybe playing in the playoffs if they make it? I mean, it is only week one.
Yeah.
This is what he had to say about that.
You trying to say you're coming back this season?
Yeah, what's happening? Are you coming back for the playoffs this year?
I'm not gonna make any of those statements. I don't feel like that's fair to myself. I'm just...
is it a possibility?
I think, as Kevin Garnett said, anything's possible.
Wow.
Wow.
This is... September, October, November.
Well, it's 4 months.
January.
I don't think that's possible. But.
What if the? Let me just throw out the scenario for you, right? What if the Jets, well, Zach Wilson gets hot, he plays really, really well, above and beyond,
and
right?
And then Rodgers is back, you sit the kid who made the playoffs? What?
Not ready for the playoffs, but it's the report is like, should the Jets make the
Super Bowl?
So then the Jets make the Super Bowl, do you play Rodgers in the Super Bowl?
Here's the one, here's my answer to that question. From your mouth to the ears of the football gods who, for some reason, find it in their nature to keep kicking the Jet fan base in the nards. May that football god or gods hear that and put that first class problem in the lap of Robert Saleh. May that happen. I would sign for that first class problem right now.
Absolutely.
And it's got to start on Sunday. What a game in Dallas. Obviously, I wish Rodgers wasn't sullenly zooming into the McAfee show on the Friday before it with a freshly surgically repaired Achilles, but rather getting ready to do his thing against the Cowboys as he's done in his career. But let's see what happens there. And we will discuss it at length on Monday's show. Chris Long will be on it. So will TJ Watt of the Steelers playing that night against the Browns. We're back to wrap up this fun show on the Roku channel in a moment.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.